Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. Thanks for tuning in once again. We appreciate each and every week all of you who are tuning in and helping spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the planet. I am Saint Rick, and I am so proud of my Jesus. He is so awesome. He is so amazing. He is so loving. He is so kind. He is so gentle. He is so patient with all of us who need it, including me. With me, I have my good friend, St. Albert from South Carolina. How are you, Brother Albert?
I'm doing great, Rick. Boy, I tell you, knowing about Christ and growing in the knowledge of who he is and growing in the knowledge of who we are is incredible. I mean, the Spirit is being poured on the world. There's so many people, Rick, that are starting to understand who Christ really is and understand who we are. And the more we understand who he is, the more we understand who we are. It really is incredible. The knowledge is all over the world. I mean, we have talked to people even in Africa, Rick, and even they're understanding more and more. So it's really crazy what's going on.
It is. And people who were preaching the law for decades, they're coming to the saving knowledge of Christ plus nothing. And I was just in a conference in Michigan with a previous guest we've had on here before, Pastor Ron Shaner, and went up to Michigan to Pathways of Wholeness, and they have a little thing called Day of Ministry. And it was amazing. He's got, he deals with basically generational things that people don't even know they have. It's really an amazing thing. He helps people get to the saving knowledge of who they are in Christ, basically, and how, you know, once they uncover who they are in Christ, how they can't allow any demonic power to attack them. They have the authority. They have things like that. It was an amazing time, and seeing so many people there was awesome, and how they're coming to the saving knowledge of Christ and how Christ did it all, not Christ plus their ability to do X, Y, and Z and not do X, Y, and Z. Because while we're in this flesh, you can't stop that train. As long as this flesh exists, the flesh is going to be controlled by an enemy who causes you to accidentally think something, accidentally say something. Good thing is Christ is in front of all of that, like an impenetrable shield that no one can get through. And that's why you and I are just absolutely so excited. And, you know, if you listen to us for a while, you're going to know who we are in Christ. And I love that. If you tune in real quick, you may get a bad understanding if you catch one thing out of it. So listen to all of it, you know, pay attention, listen to several of the episodes, tune in, join us for a while. You'll see that we are absolutely in love with Christ, and we are in love with our Father in heaven and how he loved us so much. He sent his son to die on the cross. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, that is the only truth that matters, and everyone else just going to have to get over the fact. So I'm excited about it, and I cannot wait to share this week. Basically, what we've got going on is something really amazing. You know, if I can, you know, what do you think about God? You know, what do you think about Jesus? Who told you to think that way about him? Was it the news? Was it your friends? Was it your family? Was it a legalistic pastor? How did you arrive at your conclusions? Ask yourself these questions. If you're not asking yourself these questions, then maybe you're just getting something that was fed to you without you really doing any research, without you really seeking the truth. You know, are you open to listening? Are you opening to hearing God speak to you? him speak to you inside your lives. You're going to learn some things today that's amazing. The word repent, I find, is often misused. Albert, what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, Rick. I mean, most of the time you go to church or you go to different religious places, and they really misuse this word, really misuse it, especially in the order of salvation. They think that this right here, this word repentance, they got all kinds of things to mean this word. You know, they think that repentance and salvation means like to change your mind about your sin, right? That will be one of them that they will give you. The other one will be that you were walking in sin and now you're walking towards God. Again, referring to your works. And the other one that they give you is that repentance is a feeling bad, that you have to feel bad about your sins, which is the same thing that happened to Judas. Judas felt bad about what he did, but as you notice, Judas continued on being the one who was lost, because feeling bad about your sin does not get you to go to heaven. Trying to stop doing what you're doing wrong cannot never get you to heaven either. So none of those three things, actually is what God requires from you to get to heaven, or for you to be made a new person with him. And it's a sad thing, because I mean, regret is what they think it is. Regret and repent is not the same word, and it's completely useless in salvation. You could be regretting all you want about what you did wrong, and still that does not lead you into salvation.
Well, the first place that the word repent ever appeared in the Bible was in Exodus 13:17, is when basically Pharaoh let him go. Okay? He let him go. And, you know, we've looked this up in several versions. When they have, you know, the King James uses the word repent, Darby uses the word repent, but most of the newer versions, when they all translate that, they translate it as change their minds. Unless the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So basically, that's the first place we see the word. But if we see it when Jesus first talks about it, we're in Mark, and we're going to drive over there and take a look and see what Jesus says about all this. He says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, we're in the NIV. We can do any version you want to. It still says the same thing. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. And that deals with Malachi 3:1. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. This is John, right? John the Baptist talking about, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight for the paths for him. And that was out of Isaiah 43. Right. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Okay?
Yeah.
The whole, go ahead.
Yeah, that right there will be, what I remember what it said there in the beginning, that John the Baptist was preparing the way for Christ. So what he was doing is that he was telling people to change their minds about this coming Messiah for their sins to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Well, really, it's interesting what the baptism of repentance is. We can get into that a little bit here, but Mark 1:5, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. Who do they go to? John the Baptist. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but this gets missed all the time. So he baptizes with water, but Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
That's correct. And by the way, there were some disciples, not the disciples of Christ, but there were some disciples of John that they were preaching this baptism of water, and they had to be corrected that Jesus Christ had already come and that he was being baptizing people with the Spirit.
I love the Bible. And at the time, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee was baptized by John in the Jordan. This is really important to fulfill prophecy and to fulfill scripture, and it was before the cross. So lots of detail there. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. So the Holy Spirit descended on Christ like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out to the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for how long? 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, so they got John, they put him in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Who? God. It's the good news of God. A lot of people look at God sometimes as the mean dad, and Jesus is the guy who comes in and says, "It's okay, Dad, I'll take care of him, I'll save him, and you won't have to be so mean towards him."
Yeah, and just a couple of things there. The good news is actually what the gospel is. You see, the gospel, the interpretation of the gospel is good news. So right here is interpreting the good news of God. And another little point that people missed is that the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? And God talking to Jesus and to everybody saying, you know, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." All this was done for the benefit of the people that were there. Jesus Christ did not have to see the Holy Spirit ascending to him. And Jesus Christ did not have to hear the Father saying to him that he was pleased with him, because he knew all this. It was for the benefit of the people there to understand what was coming in front of them.
Yeah.
What was the times? What was these times that were occurring?
Yeah, and people need physical manifestations. That's just how it is throughout the Bible. You know, they needed the miracles. They needed all this stuff to happen.
Yeah, just like the baptism. The baptism of water, all it is something physical for you to grasp on as to what's coming up, which is the true baptism.
Right. So the water here is basically the water baptism is a symbolism of the spiritual baptism to come. And it says, Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And you know, you've got all these preachings and teachings out there that if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved.
Yeah.
You can't find that in scripture. You can't find it. It says that, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you are saved. John 3:16 doesn't say be baptized in water.
Right. So, and of course, you know, if you go to the book of Acts, mm-hmm. You know, the church is growing, and the church is growing in the understanding of who they are and the understanding of what just happened. And you could see that growing through the gospel, through the book of Acts, the growth of the church. And so at this moment, all these things that we're teaching is because we have learned it. And the majority of the church has not learned it. And we're growing in that understanding. Some people slower, some people faster, some people never will understand it. But we're all growing in this knowledge. But you know the good thing about it, Rick, is that we teach this so people will have peace as to whom they are and whom God is, right? But in true reality, if they don't understand this, they're still going to go to heaven, and they're still going to receive the same trophies and everything that we're going to get, because we're all going to get everything because of what Christ has done, not what we fail to understand or wish we understand or anything like that. What happens is that you fail to live the completed life of Christ in you in this world, and you lose your peace without this understanding that we give you. It's not that you're not safe.
Right.
It's that you will lose your peace with any blowing wind anywhere that it comes from, whether from religion or whether from the world.
And you get abused, you get thrown around, you get used by the enemy, you get used by the world, and you feel like you're worthless. You feel like you have fear. There's all kinds of things. Spirit of fear is just such a huge thing. You know, now there's over 4,000 fears listed. And fear is false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. It's an acronym that's false. It's false evidence. So let's go on down here. And it says in Mark 15. Now, this here is really important because this is where Jesus is preaching. Because Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. That's where we left off. And here's what he says. It's in quotes. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." It has nothing to do with repent of your sin. It says repent and believe the good news, right?
That's correct, Rick.
And if we look up the word repent there, it's metanoeo, and it's to change your thinking, change your mind about God, change your mind about God, because that's what Christ was here doing, proclaiming the good news of God, his Father. And he said, "I do nothing except what I hear through the Father. I do nothing except what I see the Father do." He's proclaiming the good news of his dad, of his papa.
Yeah, and that's very good news, because what we've been taught all the time is that God is only tolerating us, but the only one that really loves us up there is Jesus. So the Father is being manhandled and forced to love us because Jesus loves us, but that's not the case. The case is that both Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit from the beginning were in love with us, and that's why they created us. And everything that they have done in this world and in the world to come, and in the heavens, and the creation of everything was done because of their love for humans, for their love for us. So it's not that Jesus is twisting the Father's hand and doing things. It's that the Father willingly wants to do it.
Yeah, he loves us. And if some of you only listen to the King James Version, let's go there. It says, "Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Okay, the good news of God. God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You know, it's the good news. It's about his Father. It's the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. And believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's the good news. What is the good news? That you are now saved. You are now, you know, you have a way and a hope that you didn't have before. If we go to John, we go to chapter 3, and we go down to that beautiful verse. "For God so loved the world," here it is, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever," what? "Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There it is again.
Read number 17, Rick.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Yes.
"For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Now, wait a minute. How often do we hear that from the pulpit? We hear that they're being sent, "You're condemned for all that sin you've got attached to you," right? "You're condemned for all that sin that's attached to you." That's just absolutely false. The condemnation is self-directed from lack of knowledge of who Christ is and what he's done for you and what God has done for you, what our Papa has done for us through his Son, Christ. But that the world, he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
And look who did the sending there, just in case somebody still doesn't believe that thinks that only the Son is the one who's in love with man. Look who sent them. It says, for God himself sent the Son. So this wasn't an idea of the Son. This was an idea of everybody up there. He sent his Son. And he sent his Son because he loved the world. And when he says the world, that means humanity. It doesn't mean the whole world. The universe and all that was made for humanity. He loves humanity. He's always loved humanity. We were, even before we were created, we were in his dreams saying, that is what I want. Those are the people that I want. The angels, everybody when we were created, everyone in the universe was saying, incredible. Can you imagine a being created in God's own image? I mean, that is unheard of. That was unheard of. The angels weren't created in God's image. The universe was not created in God's image. Man was created in God's image.
That's right. And you know that I use Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But that's not the first place that it happened. It happens here in 3:18. He that believes on him is not condemned. When it says Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation. Let me go there. We're gonna go to Romans. I'm going to shoot over there to 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Actually, if you go back to John, it's even less restrictive. He that believes on him is not condemned.
You know,
if you don't understand being in Christ and Christ in you, which is a complicated study we can go into another time, just believing on him, you are not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed what? In the name of the only begotten Son. And in 1 John, it talks about if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Without the Son, you ain't got the Father. So all those religions that believe in God but don't believe on Jesus Christ the Son, they got an issue.
Yep.
So believing on him in his name, in him, keeps you from being condemned. But really knowing him frees you. Frees you in a way that you can't even imagine. Frees you in a way that is beyond all understanding. You have a peace in the calm. You have peace and calm in the middle of the storm. You have peace and calm in the middle of the storm because you're resting in him as an eagle puts wings around the babies. He puts his wings around us. And we are safe in him. And this is the condemnation. What is that condemnation? It's that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. It doesn't say the deeds condemned them. It says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because they thought it was hiding their deeds.
Yeah, and let me make a little statement in that, Rick. You see, most people believe that those deeds were bad deeds that they were doing, you know, saying bad words, stepping, but the true reason and the true judgment of men is not because of evil deeds, because God took care of the evil deeds. The reason why God condemns those men is because they live in the darkness, that their good deeds that they're trying to hide, that they're trying to be justified by, are evil. So it is their good deeds, and that's the darkness that they're living in. And religious people, and this goes hand in hand with what Christ says in the end of times, that there are going to be people coming to him with all kinds of good works. Huh? And he's going to tell them, get away from me.
And it's not the good works themselves that condemn them. It's the reliance upon the good works for salvation. Let me get that straight.
That's correct.
I don't want any misconstruing out there or misunderstanding. We're just saying that when you rely on your deeds for your salvation, then whether the good or evil, whatever it is, that's not happening. So it's relying upon believing on the Son of God and what God did by sending his Son in the world to save us.
That's correct, Rick.
Yeah. So for everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light lest he should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light. And when we come to the light, you know, we see that we're saved. And he comes to the light so his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's look that up. If they made manifest that they are wrought in God, the word wrought comes from this Hebrew word pronounced
Strong's G 2038. Ergadzamai. Ergadzamai.
So when you look up ergadzamai, it's a as a task, occupation, by implication, effect, be engaged in or with, commit, labor for, minister about. Isn't that interesting? Let's go back and now reread that under the correct thing here. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that are ministered about in God. Oh, that's awesome. You know, as we come to the conclusion here, there's a few things I kind of want to share. We got to four compelling things that prove God is real, Christ is real. A lot of you may think it's just folklore and that it happened a long time ago, but we have the Dead Sea Scrolls that was found in the 40s that prove Christ was here on the planet. We've also got the Jewish Antiquities, Book 18, that was found, and it was done by Flavius Dominion around 93 and 94 that talks about Christ and the whole nine yards. We have the Jewish Antiquities, Book 20, which also talks about Christ, and it was talking about the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish religious court governing body. He had brought before him the brother of Jesus, so-called the Christ, who was called James, and other men whom accused have been broken the law and handed them over to be stoned. the Annals, which is senator, historian, Roman of Empire, Cornelius referred to Christ in a work he penned called the Annals in 8116. On one page, he described the execution of Christus, which was Christ, by Pontius Pilate. I mean, there's all kinds of documents and different things. There's arguments for it. You know, we're running out of time here, but this one was a good one. It was a plain 20-inch limestone ossuary, a burial box for bones, bears on the side, remarkable inscription identifying it has belonged to James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. I mean, we could go on, we could go on, and we could go on, but we don't have time. Thank you for tuning in to Saints Without Walls, God News Network. Go to facebook.com/GNN Radio, youtube.com/God News Network. We love God. God sent his Son to die for us. If you haven't accepted Christ, say, I believe he died on the cross. I believe he was buried. And I believe he rose after 3 days for me. I accept that. And I believe upon the name of Jesus Christ. If you said that, you're now saved. You have come into the kingdom, and angels all over the place are just proclaiming victory and singing victory on behalf of you. Yes, we are proud, but not of our own knowledge. It's of him. It's our knowledge of him. And I won't back down from any of that. Why? Because I love you. And now that you're a saint, I want you to remember truly that the saints are rising.